Hey, listen, you might wonder why we showed that this morning, and you might be, for those of you who aren't in the loop, wondering what's up this morning. So we are celebrating, we're having a Connect Group Expo today, Connect Groups Expo today. So basically, we are celebrating Connect Groups here today, and we are launching for the year. Now, for anyone who's been around City Church for any number of years or even months, you'll know that Connect Groups are a part of our DNA. We value them. They're a part of our vision. In fact, we don't believe church can grow without them. So it's actually really, really important that we launch well. And it's important that we plan for this. You know, we plan for friends. We plan for friends. You know, for someone like Sheldon who doesn't do it naturally. But I want to say there's always a space for everybody. There's always a space for everybody. And here, it's hard to find that space. It's hard to find that connection or that relationship or that friendship. But there is, the church has planned for it. God has planned for it. Can I tell you that? This is not our idea. It's God's idea, okay? And I want to share a little bit about that with you this morning. Because without them, C3 City Church Coast, we won't grow. We won't grow without Connect Groups. People are cared for. They're pastored. I just want to say a huge thank you to all of those who led groups last year. Rack and I want to personally thank you because you actually helped us pastor here. You know, we have up to 100, 120 people involved with Coast. We can't meet all those people. We can't meet with them all. We can't pastor them. We can't be everybody's friends. But our leaders who are leading those Connect groups, they stand in the gap. They actually stand in that space on our behalf, and we stand in the space of those behind us. And that's what Connect Groups are all about. So you're actually helping us. You're helping us pastor. You're helping us disciple. So Connect Groups in a church make it possible for everybody to be prayed for by name. Did you know that? One of the key values of Connect Group is that the leaders will pray for their people. So I want to tell you, if you belong to a Connect Group, you should be being prayed for every single day. Now, I can't do that for every single one of you, but I can do that for those that are in my sphere of influence. I can be prayed for. Who believes in the value of prayer?
Yeah.
Do you truly?
Yeah.
Because people praying for you matters.
Yeah.
It matters. Connect groups make it possible for everybody to grow in their faith. Leaders and members walking beside each other. So, you know, you come on a Sunday morning and we've just had an amazing time of the prophetic flowing. We've had an amazing time of revelation perhaps for some of you, for surrender for some of you. We've had that in this space. But hey, walking that out is another thing. Can you hear me? God's done something on the inside of you today. But you've got to walk that out somehow, because God doesn't flick his fingers and automatically everything lines up in your life. Because often we have walked ourselves into these situations. We've got to walk ourselves out of these situations. He gives the revelation, the power. He gives the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to be able to make the shift on the inside of us. But then we've got to walk it out in the natural. In the natural. That's not done in this space. That's done throughout the week in your Connect group, walking with each other. That's relationship. And that actually, that's discipleship. It's not sitting in a class reading a pamphlet. That is discipleship. The other thing that Connect groups make it possible for everybody to do is to be trained, believe it or not. Trained in leadership. So in a Connect group, you have a leader. You have different ones doing things. Now, in order for our Connect groups to grow and to explode, we need to raise up other leaders. What better place to be trained to lead in prayer? What better place to be trained to lead worship if that's the way your Connect group is structured? What better place to be a pastor, to be caring for and encouraging people around you? That's what Connect groups make it possible for every single person in here. I can't give you all a task on Sunday. I can't let you all lead the prayer meeting. I can't do that. But you can lead prayer in your Connect group. You can, if that's on your heart. Whatever is on your heart, whatever you are gifted in and passionate about, you can be mentored and trained in your connect groups to walk into that role. And leadership comes in all shapes and sizes. You could be in charge of the supper every week. You have a passion for that. Well, that's leadership. That's leadership. You know, studies have shown that people change more through relationship connection than they do through any other learning environment. So if you can connect a relationship to a learning environment, you're going to get the best results. Okay, so you go to school, you go to uni, you go to anywhere else, you've got to really apply yourself to learn. If you go and sit in a situation where you've got people loving on you and wanting to share their heart with you, wanting to show you where they've walked and wanting to teach you the lessons God's given to them, you'll learn. My goodness, you'll learn. And you won't even know it. You won't even know it. Better than an event, better than a program, a study, a course. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. And I just, my Bible closed, but here we go. Turn to Paul, an amazing man of God, an amazing apostle who we get so much of our direction from in church and our lives and our faith lives and our walks. So 2 Timothy 2, start with verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's just stop there. Grace. Did you know that grace is from the same root word as charisma? Did you know that? I didn't know that. Yeah. Charisma, in the dictionary, and I'm amazed at this too, it means a divinely conferred power or talent that can inspire devotion in others. That's what charisma is. It's divine, according to the dictionary. Wonder when they'll take that out. So in other words, a God-given or gifted ability to have influence over other people. That's what grace is. I always thought grace was gentleness and all this, you know what I mean? But actually when you dig in, so it's the ability, the God-given, God-gifted ability, when he put grace on you, when you accepted him, you were filled with his grace. Instantly you are given the God-gifted ability to have influence over other people. How's that? The moment we receive Christ, we all carry his grace, all of us. And we all carry that divine ability to inspire and influence other people. Whether you think you're cut out for it or not, actually, it's in you. Let's have a look at verse 2 of 2 Timothy. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So Paul in his ministry, if you look at this, Paul in his ministry was always thinking beyond himself. The things you've heard me say, give to others. Paul had a generation approach to his ministry. He was always thinking about others. Can I have the next slide up there, Nikita? So you see, Paul, he brought Timothy in. He shared with Timothy. He then said to Timothy, Timothy, find reliable men who you can impart what you've heard me say in the presence of other people. You take what I've given you and you hand it on to the reliable men. Reliable men will then take what you've given them and they'll hand it on to others as well. This is the way Paul worked. This is the way he instructed Timothy, who was his mentor, to work. So I want to say this morning, because Paul's a man we follow. Paul is a man who we believe had the heart of God. He taught us so much. If you're serious about serving God, people, I want to challenge you to start living a generational faith, a life through relationally. See, God builds his kingdom through relational connections. Do you believe that? Or I could say it another way, the work God is doing on the planet right now, listen now, the work God is doing on the planet right now, he's doing through relationship connections. Or I could say it even another way, people don't get fed because of ideas, offerings, programs, or meetings. God's kingdom is built through relationship. Through relationship. You know, and it's funny to me because so often I think we make the loudest noise about this area, this space. Sometimes we can even put the most effort into this space. But this space is not the relational space. This is the inspirational space. This is not the relational space. So we need to be doing both. And the funny thing is, it's actually the same way God sees each and every one of us individually. He sees us generationally. Like, he looks at Lily, and he doesn't see Lily, just Lily. He sees Lily, but he sees all those who are going to come after Lily. He sees all those in her sphere, and then the ones in their sphere, and so on. And so, he sees that when he looks at Lily, when he looks at you, when he looks at any one of you. He doesn't see just you standing in this space today. He sees the impact that you're going to have generationally on this planet for him. Because I want to tell you this morning, you will impact. You will. How will you impact? You've heard that. It's a movie, I think, 6 degrees of Separation. You heard about that? It's a philosophy that everybody's connected by 6 people to the whole world. And there's a movie made on it. But actually, you know what? Since Facebook and social media, they've done this huge, big analysis. And they've done their charts and their algorithms and everything else. And actually, they've discovered that most people in the world are separated by 3.5 degrees. So in other words, sorry, is it insane or what? Doesn't mean just me and my 3 daughters are connected to the whole world. It's specific people, obviously, but there are 3.5 people that I'm connected to who through their 3.5 connections and their 3.5 connections and their 3.5 connections will eventually be connected to every single person on planet Earth. That's scary. But hey, why did God make all this about relational stuff? About relational sharing and living and loving and teaching and growing, because we are all connected. We are all connected. Yeah. And that is God's salvation plan for our planet, relationally. So if you're saying to me or anybody, I want to go deeper in my walk with God, he will always point you back to this, always. Don't think going deeper with God is doing a college course or attending a prayer group, or I have to do that before I start leading a connect group or involving myself in some form of influence in my connect group, because actually doing the influence and leading part is what's going to grow you deeper in your faith. Because it's his formula. See, you, the one you mentor, who then gives it on to their ones, and their ones give it on to their ones. That's God's formula. So go deeper equals engaging his formula. You want to grow in your faith? You want to be changed? You want to look back next year to where you are today and say, I'm changed? You need to follow God's formula. So we have to live our lives generationally. And Jesus is our example, right? And we sing about it, and we declare it, and we read about it in his word. I want to be more like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. So let's look at the life of Jesus a little bit. And this is what he did. His public ministry is not why I'm standing here today. In fact, his public ministry wasn't the successful part of what Jesus did. It was an add-on. It was a result of his influence and just the truth and who he was, and people wanted to be around him. There was a public ministry. But his public ministry didn't change the world. The Bible says that, in fact, most of the time, people went away from Jesus' times in the public's eye confused. They thought they knew something was good, but they were confused. What is that all about? I don't even understand. In fact, the disciples were confused, and they had to pull him aside often afterwards and say, what did that mean? They had to, because the public face of Jesus was not where the truth was being conveyed. And it was only to his 12 disciples that Jesus actually took them aside and shared the truths around what he was saying, why he lived the way he did, what he did. He allowed them to see him pray. He allowed them to walk with him, to do everything he did, to live life, to mentor them, to teach them, to train them, to love on them, to encourage them. So Jesus had a public ministry, but the real impartation went on in his connect group. His connect group of 12. That's what it was, people. It was a connect group. So you can be encouraged, inspired, and have your faith added to in these spaces. But most of our personal growth will happen in our connect groups, where you receive impartation, love, a safe place to learn and ask questions. It is a safe place. Sometimes it's scary in a crowd to ask a question. Once you have relationship with people, you know they love you, you go for it. You know, Jesus didn't just come to die. He came to die, yes. He came to pay the price for our sin. He came to allow us to step into the kingdom and eternity. But that's not all he came for. He actually came to get the ball rolling too. So he had to die. But first he had to prepare for the church to outlast his death. The church had to then continue. The church had to then work and function. So he didn't just come to die. He came to build a connect group so that he could impart to those men and so on and so on. And those men, those 12 disciples, every single one of us has a link to one of them because that's where it started. How about that? I wonder which disciple I'm linked to. Peter? No. Thomas? Doubting Thomas? No. No, we won't speak that. But even just thinking about that, once again, generationally, and when Jesus poured into that disciple's heart, he saw me. He saw you, whichever one he poured into, that allowed God to flow through him and his connect groups or his sphere of influence, has now got you standing in this place today. So I'm a result of the generational ministries in the lives of one or more of those men. We've been generationally impacted, people. There's no two ways about it. We stand here today because of someone's obedience to live a generational faith. Someone who was willing to do what Jesus did. And you know, for some of you, you say, oh, it was my mum. That was a generational faith. So even in your own homes, you need to live a generational life. So it'll be at your workplace, it'll be in your schools, it'll be anywhere. It will be anywhere. Yeah. Billy Graham was asked, do you have any regrets about your ministry and about what you did on earth? And he said, amazingly, he said, you know, if I had one regret, instead of focusing so much on my crusades, I wish I'd spent more time training and mentoring other people around me and allowing them to walk what I walk. And I never did that. See, the grace of Christ in you, that God-gifted ability to have influence over other people, that is the power of God. That is the power of God. Because relational connection is God's formula. So it's in you. And here's the other thing. This wasn't just a plan God made when we fell. This wasn't just a plan God made to back up Jesus coming to earth and dying for us. No, he actually created us this way right from the beginning of time. And we'll just have a really quick look just for a few more minutes because we've got a few other things to do this morning. He wouldn't have formulated a plan for advancing his kingdom on earth that he hadn't equipped you to fulfill or me, okay? It's in all of us. And if we look at Genesis 1, starting verse 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land. Oh, hang on, let me start again. That didn't come out right, did it? Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, verse 12, plants bearing seed according to their kinds and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So right from the very, very beginning, every single living thing that God created had seed. He placed seed within each and every single living thing that he created. What is the purpose of seed? To multiply, to bring more life, to bring new life. So everything God puts his hand to reproduces. He didn't just make one, like he might have made one tree. But in that tree, he put the seed of every other tree that was to be. He didn't just make one bear or lion. Within those animals, he put the seed that would then give birth to and reproduce and give life to all of the animals to come. So this is not just a church thing. This is not just a Christ died, came back, Christ died and gave us a calling. No, this is a God thing. This is his character. This is his nature. And right from the word go, it was his plan. And it was his formula. He made one man and one woman. But within the man was the seed that would make every other man on the planet. And then in verse 26 to 27, it talks about God making man in his own image and in his own likeness. So he put the seed of himself in us. And you see, everything God puts his hand to brings reproduces and brings life. And it's generational in its purpose. Because it is who he is, therefore it is who we are. And then in verse 28, it says, once he had made mankind, the very first words he said would be fruitful and multiply. He put a blessing upon them. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Take everything that I have placed in you. Take it all. Everything that I have put inside you, multiply it. Give new birth. Give new life to it. Multiply it. Bring new life. Bring about others around you. Bring life to others with what I have placed on the inside of you. And you know what the amazing thing is that, and it's almost as if to cement this divine formula of his, when Jesus left the earth, the last thing he told us to do, so the first thing was go and multiply. The last thing he told us to do before he left the world was to go and make disciples, go and multiply, reproduce, take everything I have given you on the inside and bring new life to others.